This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Don Wick and Kara Hart. The supply chain disruptions do have a ripple effect throughout agriculture. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has more from the CHS annual meeting in Minneapolis.
As a global player in ag and energy, CHS has a critical role in the link between the manufacturer and the farmer. CHS Senior Vice President of Enterprise Customer Development, Gary Halverson, says the supply chain is more complicated and more expensive than it has ever been.
And we believe that it's going to stay this way far longer than some of the experts believe it will, because, quite frankly, when one thing gets solved, it seems like another thing falters. And we just don't think it's going to be solved through planting a 22. We think it might have a tail out to 2023. And that's just something that we work on every day. And CHS, because of our global footprint, but because of our Midwest saturation, we feel really comfortable with our processes, our teams, and our industry connections to help solve supply chain issues. We do it all the time. It's just now it's more focused, so we've got more folks working on it than we've had in the past.
The supply chain is behaving differently today. The concept of just-in-time delivery has shifted.
I'd say, it shifted a bit from just-in-time to just-in-case. And with the shortages in crop protection, especially in glyphosate and glufosinate, which will resonate well with your producers and the retailers in your network, Don, we're seeing a lot of sales being pulled back into the year. So everybody's buying more earlier to help solve that, because the farmer knows if it's in his shop, if it's in his warehouse, he has possession, he'll get his acre sprayed. And so the farmer's buying more earlier, the retailer's buying more earlier, the manufacturer's selling in different kind of capacities than they've had in the past, both in volume and in the way things are priced.
Despite the pandemic, CHS revenues grew over 30% in the past year. Halverson credits the CHS employees and its farmer members for that strength. Reporting from Minneapolis and the CHS annual meeting, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Drought was a reality for farmers and ranchers in western North Dakota this past year. However, Cogswell, North Dakota farmer Kevin Trainer has seen sufficient moisture this fall, and he's a member of the CHS Board of Directors. The CHS Ag Services, which serves northwestern Minnesota, northeast North Dakota, enjoyed a record fall for the volume of fertilizer sold and applied. General Manager Ryan Anderson says the open fall allowed the company to get those acres covered.
Having a fall like we did really helps our system out. We rely heavily on unit trains, and moving the volumes that we did allows us to replenish now to get geared up for spring. So I feel good about our supply plan. I feel good about having the product. The pricing obviously is an issue, but it's definitely top of mind. A lot of buzz around with chemicals as well, but I feel like the relationships we have with our manufacturer partners, we're going to be okay on that as well.
Anderson does not anticipate any major changes in the acreage mix.
For our area, sugar beet's kind of a mainstay, consistent. I still think we're going to have the wheat and corn acres like we usually do, and then round it off with soybeans, and there's going to be some sunflowers and canola and edibles. So that's kind of the unique thing about our trade areas. We're fortunate to be able to, kind of spread our risk out with all these different crops, and I think it'll be very consistent.
USDA's Risk Management Agency will allow Sunflower Enterprise and optional units to be insured under the Sunflower Insurance System. National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sandbachen looks forward to that change.
Well, it's going to be great for sunflower producers because, in the past, we were reluctant to grow both confections and oils in the same, enterprise unit, because at times the loss on one crop could have been negated by a gain in another. And so this is just going to allow producers to insure them separately and to grow both crops.
That will strengthen coverage options and make crop insurance a better risk management tool for sunflower producers. That will be implemented next year, and Sandbachen says they've been working on this for a couple of years.
Trying to get it put into place because of, input we got from producers. And, we're really thankful that the North Dakota and South Dakota delegations, especially Senator Kramer, helped us, persuade RMA to get this in place for next year. Visit with your crop insurance agent to see, which plan would work best for you.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has signed an executive order extending the time frame when hay haulers can move hay through February 2022. Oversized hay haulers with a permit can move from 2 hours before sunrise to 2 hours after sunset. Hauling windows are typically a half hour before sunrise and a half an hour after sunset. After CF Industries filed a complaint with UAN imports from Russia, Trinidad, and Tobago, they are being unfairly subsidized. The U.S. Department of Commerce recommended countervailing duties on fertilizers from those countries. National Corn Growers Association is disappointed with the department's decision. NCGA says that doesn't make the severe fertilizer shortages any better, because farmers shouldn't have to pay for disputes between American fertilizer companies and foreign producers. Wheat market is enjoying strong buying support. Bennett Consulting President Matt Bennett said wheat did need a good day.
I mean, we definitely saw a top there whenever we got up there to 863, and it sure looked to us like, you turn around, you head lower, and boy, that chart looks pathetic, quite frankly. And then you come in here today and you're up 22, 25 cents. And so, overall wheat, I had a hard time getting super bearish there. It's just that maybe we're a little bit overdone for the time being.
Bennett sees the wheat complex staying strong.
Whenever I look at wheat, you're not going to have much cheap feed wheat available to be able to put on the world market this year. U.S. world stocks-to-use ratios significantly lower than what we typically see, which, typically run 50%. So whenever you're talking 28%, 30% here in the U.S., those are tight levels compared to what we're used to. And so, with a soft red winter wheat crop not getting as many acres maybe as what they were hoping for, I've got to think that this overall acreage battle is going to continue.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The American Crystal Sugar Company and the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association holding their joint annual meeting in Fargo today. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart has this report.
American Crystal Sugar Company cooperative members harvested a good crop this year. This was a slight surprise for Vice President of Agriculture Brian Inglesrud, given the dry conditions seen throughout much of the American Crystal growing area.
We thought, oh boy, here we go again. It's going to be a third short crop. Middle of August came and we started getting rain, and we got almost two times the normal amount of rain between the middle of August and the middle of October. We ended up with just a little under what we were hoping for in terms of yield, 28.7 tons per acre. And total tonnage, though, because we had a high number of acres harvested, again, back to the dry conditions, very little amount of root disease. And so just about every acre that was planted was able to be harvested. And we ended up with crop size of 11.8 million tons in total. That's the third most that we've had in our company's history.
Inglesrud says sugar content for this year's crop is around 18%, about as expected. Sugar beets went into storage very cool. The co-op is watching the warmer than usual conditions, but aren't really concerned about it at this time.
That's where we lose a lot of sugar, frankly, is in November, where the piles are making that transition from 50 degrees down to 30. A lot of them started at the 40s, and so, yeah, we felt pretty good about storage. It's going to be a longer storage season for us this year, though, than what we've seen with the two shorter crops. And so we're going to need some good cold weather this winter to get them frozen.
Reporting Agriculture's Business from Fargo, North Dakota, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
USDA's Risk Management Agency is updating its crop insurance provisions, making permanent a provision to allow producers to hay, graze, or chop cover crops and still receive full prevented planting payments. Among the changes, RMA is also adding flexibility in the 1-in-4 requirement. New flexibilities allowed to meet that 1-in-4 requirement include the annual regrowth for an insured perennial crop similar to alfalfa or red clover, and that would be considered as planted. It also allows a crop covered by the Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program, or NAP, to meet the insurability requirements, and if NAP is not available, allows farmers to prove the acreage was planted and harvested in at least two consecutive years out of the four previous years to meet the insurability requirements. National Cattlemen's Beef Association working with USDA's Food Safety Inspection Service concerning the labeling of meat or poultry products that contain lab-grown animal cells. NCBA believes the term beef should only be applied to products obtained from livestock raised by farmers and ranchers. The regulatory standards that the USDA would adapt towards the labeling of lab-grown or cell culture protein products would set precedence in labeling standards. According to a study conducted by No-Till Farmer, farmers are making significant purchases of 2022 crop inputs before the end of the year. Not surprisingly, liquid fertilizer topping that list, with more than 37% of participants saying they are increasing their normal prepaid purchases before the end of the year. 35% are locking in their crop protection products. 33% are planning to prepay for their granular fertilizer in the fourth quarter. 30% are making more prepays for seed. 21% are going the same route with diesel fuel. National Pork Producers Council has a new chief executive officer. Senior Vice President of the National Pork Board, Brian Humphreys, will step into the role on December 21st. That follows the retirement of Neil Dirks. Humphreys is a resident of Des Moines, Iowa. And Chelsea Keyes has been promoted to policy director for the Republican side of the Senate Agriculture Committee. Ranking member John Bozeman says Keyes will lead the policy development and strategy for his team on the committee. Prior to joining the Senate Ag Committee staff in 2015, Keyes was director of government affairs for the National Pork Producers Council, and Keyes was raised on a grain and livestock farm in southern Minnesota. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Just as farmers plan for cropping season, NDSU Extension Specialist Angie Johnson is advising growers to prepare for farm safety.
Those simple pre-maintenance, you know, when you're changing oil, take the time to clean up your equipment and make sure you don't have leaking fuel lines. And so right away, that's what I'm looking at is making sure your equipment is ready to go, not just mechanically, but those safety measures.
And one of the basics of farm safety is the slow-moving vehicle sign on your equipment.
You know, a $16 sign could prevent a severe traffic accident from happening out on the roadway. And so and setting your mirrors as well. So simple things like that can go a long way.
Bauer Trading Market Analyst Ben Cash says the corn market today trying to trade on its own fundamentals.
Yeah, it really is. And funds remain long over 300 or over 350,000 corn, so they're really not, you know, too shooken up in here off this sell-off. So they're willing to hold these longs, it appears here.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. Wheat in Minneapolis, March 22 cents higher, 10.41 and a quarter. Chicago March up 27. Kansas City March up 26 and a quarter. March corns 5.75 cents higher at 5.77 and a quarter. January soybeans up 17 cents. The March beans are up 16 and a half at 12.51 and a half. January canola is up $23.50 a metric ton at $1,017.80 Canadian. February live cattle up $1.07 at $139.65. January feeder cattle 7 cents higher at $165.90. The March contracts 40 cents higher. December hogs are up $1 at $74.62. February hogs $2.17 higher at $82.30. On the farm calendar, the NDFB's campaign management seminar continues through tomorrow. That's at the NDFB office in Bismarck. Thanks for joining us. Have a good afternoon. This is the Red River Farm Network.